Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
There are three kinds of leaders in the Old Testament: prophets, priests, and kings. God set these three prophets, these three priests, these three kings in front of us so that we would understand how much God loves us. God loves us. His love is everlasting. His love is incomprehensible to us, because we cannot understand how we could be loved to that extent. We don't understand it. And yet, God has raised up these leaders for us. You know, we live in a time when it looks like we're about to choose a leader of our country. We want a leader. We desire to be led. And that is the reason that many of us find ourselves in a quandary. We try to judge our leaders. We try to find out what their hidden agenda is. We want to know. Well, God tells us what these three kings or these three kinds of leaders desire to be. The first is the prophet. The prophet stands in the presence of God. He hears God speak to him directly. And then he takes what God has said and verbatim regurgitates or tells the people exactly what it is that God wants. That's the role of the prophet. The role of the prophet is not necessarily to predict the future, it's to say what God would have him say. Prophets have never been very popular because that is not what they're there to do. They're not to seek popularity. Those who seek popularity are probably not really God's prophets in the first place. Prophet has to be willing to stand in the presence of God and hear what God says and be faithful to repeat what God says. But God knows us well enough to know that we don't listen to the prophets. When a prophet speaks, we just turn aside. We kill the prophets. We do all kinds of things. We stone the prophets. We drive them away. We don't want to hear what the prophets say. You know, that's the problem that we all have, isn't it? That we are simply people who hear the Word of God and don't want to do it. It goes against everything that our culture says we should be. We don't want to follow God's Word. We don't want to be in His presence. The people of Sinai, the Mount Sinai, they looked at that and they saw the presence of God descend upon the mountain and they said, "We're not going up there. Let Moses go up. He's the prophet. Let him go up. He can hear what God says. Then he'll tell us, and we'll do what God says." Of course, they didn't do what God said. We're just like that today. We hear the word, and it just washes over us. It doesn't penetrate us. It doesn't do anything. And so God, knowing how we were, gave us the priest. The priest's role is to pray for us, to sacrifice for our sins, to work in the temple, the place where we take our sins and confess them before the priest. Basically, the prophet stands in the presence of God and speaks to man on God's behalf. The priest speaks to God on men's behalf. But we don't change our lives because a priest has sacrificed a lamb or a goat. We don't change our lives. We just feel like, "Oh, well, now I can go back and being clean now because the priest has prayed for me. I can go back and do anything I want to do." And so that didn't work. And so God gave the people what the people asked for. The people asked for a king, like other people had. We don't want to listen to God. We don't want to do what the prophets say. We don't want to depend on the priest to intercede for us. We want a king. And so he gave them kings. And the king was there to direct their daily lives. He was there to lead them into battle, to lead them into peace, to lead them into prosperity and the blessings of God. That was his task, was to protect the people. He was given the leadership role of doing that. Here's what God said about those ministries. He said they're all bunk. The prophet's not working, the priest isn't working, the king's not working. It's not working. God sent these people to help us, to hear from him, to help intercede for us because we're too weak to do what he says to do. We're too disobedient, and to direct our daily lives. And God says it's bunk. What do you say? You see, it's important that we align ourselves with God, that we determine to be as much a servant of God as we can be. We're told that what he says are important words. We're told to be obedient to those words, to live with them. Jesus believed that. Jesus said that to Satan when he was being tempted on the Mount of Temptation, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." And Satan said, "Well, you're hungered, so why don't you turn these stones into bread?" You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's our food. Our food is the Word of God. That's why we should listen to him, because it nurtures us, it strengthens us, it grows us up in the way that we should grow. We don't do it, so he sent priests. Priests are to intercede for God, with God, on our behalf. So Jesus says, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." He is our high priest. That's what he does. And we have kings like David was a king who was supposed to lead us into righteousness, and he falls from grace, and yet he's still a man after God's own heart. We do not have perfection because we're not perfect. Only God is perfect. Let us go before him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are in charge, that you are the one that speaks the words of life and death. You're the one that brings us to an everlasting knowledge through salvation in Jesus Christ. You're the one who sent your own Son into this world, not us. You did it. You did it in your own power, not in our power. Father, we ask that you give us a taste of that same power today. May you cast out anything that I would say. May only the things that you imprint upon our hearts remain. Father, we ask you to speak to us and speak for us. We ask you to lead us and direct us. We ask you and you alone to be our all in all. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me to chapter 13 of Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." Doesn't sound like he's very happy with the prophets, does it? And then in Ezekiel 22, chapter 22, verse 26 through 28, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shred the blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plaster them with an untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, "Thus says the Lord God," when the Lord has not spoken. God's not happy with the prophets that he set in place. He's not happy with the priest. He's not happy with the kings. He's not happy. You know, when God isn't happy, nobody's happy. We have kind of watered that down to make it, hey, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. But in fact, it's when God's not happy that we're in real trouble. That's when you hear the woes. We haven't distinguished between the rights of God. We have not understood that God is sovereign, that God has the right to do with us as he pleases. And only by his grace are we not destroyed. We do not receive because we don't even ask. Or we ask not aright. We ask petitions. Oh, God, do this for me. Or God, do that for me. Instead of just enjoying who God is and receiving what he wants us to have. God is God. He's not happy with the priest. I'm sure he's not happy with pastors today. Pastors have a bad reputation. They're considered to be just about as honest as a used car salesman. Not quite, but just about as honest. And that's nothing against a used car salesman. The fact is that we have very low opinions because we see that they're out for money and we see them driving in their big, beautiful cars and they're having their yachts and they do all these things. We see all of that. We see them flying around in their private aircraft. We see how they glory in the adoration of the people, not glorying in God alone. And so we see that these leadership roles were just not working. God says it was not working because there was absolutely no hunger for God created by the prophets or by the priests or by the kings. We did not find ourselves hungering for God. We heard God's word. We had an intercession by the priest. We were directed by the kings. But we went on our merry way with no real hunger for God. You know, people gathered here at 5 o'clock this morning to pray, to hunger for God. They're fasting and praying because they love God and they want more of God. The fact is that all these combined roles did not produce that hunger for God. And so God gives another leader to us. God gives us one in chapter 34, verse 1. The Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." You see, God had given one more try at healing our stiff necks. You know, when I was in England, I had a stiff neck. I couldn't turn my head at one point. Oh, I got all kinds of good feelings from my mother-in-law who said, "Oh, don't pick up that." I said, "It'll go away. It's just a crick in my neck." The problem is that we have spiritual cricks in our necks. We refuse to bow and submit before the living God. And when we do that, we are creating in ourselves a defiance of God. God created shepherds. That's a role of the prophet, the priest, and the king all combined. The shepherd would feed the sheep. That's the role of the shepherd, to feed the sheep, just like the role of the prophet is to feed the people with the word of God. And I have already said to you that Jesus himself said that that is the kind of food that we need. When Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep," he's not talking about giving them food to eat. He is talking about giving them the words of life to live by. And so the shepherd is to do that. The second task of the shepherd is to go and find the lost sheep, to pull them out of their own wickedness. They're caught in briars because of their wickedness. The circumstances of their life are all wrong. And so he picks them up, he puts them on his shoulder, and he carries them. That is the role of the shepherd. The shepherd protects the sheep just like the king. He directs the sheep. They hear the sound of his voice and they follow him. He shows them where the next meal is coming from, the next word of God. But God, it seems like here, is not happy with the shepherds that he appointed. He says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" You know, there is within our community a bunch of people that are really, I don't want to even say this, but these are men who are so crooked in the pulpit that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They preach universalism. That's not saving anybody. And their role is to seek the lost sheep. Jesus said he left the 99 and went to the one that was lost. It is to pick up the sheep. Not just to pick something up for themselves, but to pick up the sheep and carry them, to protect them, to hold them. The role of the king is to give directions and protect the flock, and so God speaks to the shepherd because the shepherd is the true King of Kings. And they're not doing their job. They're not doing the role that God has assigned them to. So when God speaks of the shepherd, he is speaking about all the dimensions of leadership together. He's speaking about revealing, the revealing of the Word of God, the reconciling of man to man and man to God, the ruling, the truth, the worship, the power. He is speaking about all of those things. I told Zacharias this morning a story that is supposed to be a true story. I think it is. There was a man who was a graduate of a major seminary, and he was going to take on a new church, and it had 700-800 people. But he was missing something. He had his master's degree and his doctor's degree, but there was something missing. He didn't have the power of the old country church pastor that had brought him to a saving knowledge of Christ. And so preceding his ministry, going to that old church once again, before he went to the new church that he had been offered, he said to the pastor, he said, "Tell me the secret of your power." And the old pastor said, "You really want to know?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I really want to know." He said, "Because you sat in this place, you stood in this place with 30 or 40 people, and you preached with power, and that power came upon us and changed us, changed our lives." He said, "You never have had a church as large as the one I'm about to go to. It's 700 or 800 people, and we're just ready to spring up and become a mega church." He said, "But I need the power that you have. I've got all the education. I need the power." And the pastor said, "Well, come on, follow me." He took him out the back, and they went through the little graveyard right behind the church. He walked past and saw the names of the people that were there. He remembered some of them. They walked on down to the creek where the pastor had baptized him. And suddenly the pastor grabbed him and threw him, clothes and all, into the creek. And then he jumped on top of it. But he was drowning, that young man. That young man was literally drowning. And just before he drowned, the pastor pulled him up and he asked him this question. He said, "Do you know how it felt to want that next breath of life?" And the pastor said, "Yeah." He said, "When you want God that much, you'll have the power." The power. We always get the horse before the cart before the horse. We try to get the power without getting God first. Sometimes that's what's happened. God doesn't like it. God doesn't care about it. And so God sets up his own shepherd. He says in 34:15, "I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down," says the Lord God. He decides that he is going to be the shepherd himself. He is going to do it because all these men have failed. They failed in the role that they were given, as people are failing today. I went to two church services while we were gone to England. In the first church service, I heard a Unitarian Universalist message that actually made me so angry, righteous indignation, that I couldn't receive communion. I couldn't. The second sermon I heard was from a woman who was ordained by the Church of England, and she spoke a good sermon, and it was straight down the line, and I understood. Sometimes we hear these negative things. But we must know that God has placed them there to challenge us, to see if we will bite the apple. God looks at that shepherd. He says, "Now these old shepherds have not done the things. Well, I'm going to send you a shepherd. I'm going to come myself, and I'm not going to try to feather my own nest." Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to put his head." He didn't come to feather his own nest. He came to give himself away. What do I tell you? To give yourself away every single solitary day. To follow after Christ. Not do it because I said it, but do it because Jesus led us to do it. He says, I want someone who's not going to put his trust in the treasures that he amounts here on earth. I want somebody who'll put their treasures in heaven with me, who'll bank with me, who'll give me the glory, give me the credit. He said, "I'm going to put a shepherd that is a true shepherd. He alone will speak the words of God with no spin attached. He will speak them." Jesus says, "I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do the things that the Father tells me to do." He is a good shepherd. He is providing us with the truth. He comes to bind up the brokenhearted. He says that he comes to heal the sheep, body, mind, and spirit. Give himself as a living sacrifice and to ask on the cross for the forgiveness of us. "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." A young sheep giving his life to his flock. A shepherd who says, "My flock hear my voice and pick up their cross and follow me on the narrow way that leads back to you." God's saying, "I'll be their prophet. I'll be their priest. I'll be their king. I will personally bring the truth to them. I care for my people. I'll protect them. I will keep them. I will lead them in the path of righteousness." Jesus came into the world where he saw, he still sees, people living under the leadership of the world. He still sees us. He knows our hearts. He knows that we pick up and we listen to some music or we watch a TV commercial and we get an urge to buy what is there. Remember, I told you that there was a marketplace that was used as an example of God in the marketplace, and he's not shouting and screaming and taunting us with his wares. He is quietly asking us to come. He has the bread of life to share. That is Christ, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus said that all that came before him were thieves and robbers, but that he was the Good Shepherd, that he would love his sheep and take care of his sheep, that he would sacrifice for his sheep. He said, I laid down my life for my friends. He will come and seek and save the lost sheep. He picks up the sheep that are caught in their own evil and he bears them on his own shoulders as he bore our sin to the cross. He says, my sheep will never perish. No one can take my sheep from my hand. Once they're my sheep, they're my sheep. Oh, they're not perfect. I realize they're not perfect. I will continue to work with them. I will send them the Holy Spirit to give them a conscience, to make them regret the things they say about others. I will give them a conscience of people who come and understand that they are being moved and changed and transformed by the power of the living God. But he will always be with you. Even death can't separate you, because when you're lowered down, he picks you back up. The Bible says that he's there in a blinking of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye. That's 1/10,000th of a second. Bang! That's why we say that to be absent from the Lord is to be present. Well, absent from this life is to be present with the Lord. He loves us. And yet, there are many who still don't hunger and thirst for God. They don't do it, even though Jesus himself wants to nurture us with the truth. He gives himself. He feeds us. He gives us what we need to be strong and to be vital and to have the energy to do the things he calls us to do. He said in the Last Supper, this is my body given for you. This is bread. This wine is my blood. Take, eat, drink. He gives himself, the Word of God, the living Word, gives himself to us so that we would be healed. But we don't like his teaching and the way he healed us, and we don't like this, and we don't like that. And it doesn't make any sense to us that he came here. And there's nothing in him that we are attracted to, just like the Bible said. There's nothing. He doesn't look like Rock Hudson. He doesn't look like Jeffrey Hunter. He doesn't look like any of these guys. He's not blonde hair and blue eyes and just looks like a thing that just walked out of the Needless Markup catalog. Jesus comes to us as one of us. There's nothing in him that we're attracted to. We're deaf to his call. We don't hear it. We don't be still and listen to the Word of God. We don't hear it. We're always distracted. We can't hear his voice. We're blind to his way. We don't see what he plainly puts out in front of us. We do not see. We choose not to see. We choose not to put on our glasses and not to put on our contact lenses. And we live in a world that we're blind. We're blind. Because we're vain. You know, I once had a very, very bad eyesight. I mean, my eyes were like 2400 or something without glasses. But with glasses, they were 20/20. And I got pulled over one time when I was just a teenager. And the police asked me where my glasses were, and I said, I don't have them. I gave them my license, which said I could drive with corrected lenses. And I hadn't had them surgically corrected with cataracts removed and new lenses put in at that time. And so I said to him, well, my girlfriend was in the car, and I was just, and so he gave me a ticket. So I went before the judge, and I was sitting in the courtroom. I was fearful because the judge was there. And the judge said, well, now, he's got a bunch of Boy Scouts over here. And he said, Mr. Frady, he said, why weren't you wearing your glasses? I told him the truth. I said, because I was vain. I took them off because I didn't want my girlfriend to see me wearing the glasses. And he tried various times to get me to deny that, because he was kind of between a rock and a hard place here. And I kept telling him the truth over and over again. Finally, the truth set me free. I did not have to pay a fine. He used me as an example to the Boy Scouts who were sitting over there of, see, now this is what happens if you tell the truth. But I was vain. I was egomaniac. I didn't want to wear my glasses when I was driving, even though I couldn't see that the trees had individual leaves on them. Because I didn't want the girl sitting next to me to know that. We're that way. We're blind. And we're always judging. We judge Jesus. We're always trying to diminish Jesus in our life. We want to be the king of our own lives. We don't want Jesus to come and rule and reign in our life. We want to do what we want to do. Let's be honest about that. That's the way that people are. As it was in the world that he came to, so it is today. Nothing has changed. We're still doing the same things that we once did. They, like the people of Jesus' time, say, oh, well, that's a shepherd. Oh, we don't want to listen to anything he says. He's unclean. He's just one of many voices. I mean, the prophet says I can do this. The Muhammad says I can do this. The Buddha says I can do anything that feels good. Do it. You know, I can do anything I want to do. I don't have to do that. I don't have to listen to that. We try to diminish Jesus. We think, oh, well, the shepherds think that we're sheep. I'm not a sheep. I'm not going to blindly follow anybody. No siree. I'm going to do my own thing. You know, I have evolved into who I am. I don't need a creator. You know, I don't need a God. I don't need God at all. Our people have grown fat on the junk food of our culture. We have bought into it. We bought into a little bit of pleasure for a season. We bought into it. We've lost our hunger and thirst for God that is in every human heart. We've lost it. We even avoid the stink of our own bodies because we'll not admit to ourselves or live out the fact that we're new creatures. We think, oh, well, that's not me that's stinky. That's everybody else. We need a shepherd. We need a leader, a king of kings, to bring us back to God, and that's the truth. No matter how we object to submitting to God and living a life that is pleasing to Him, the consequences that we face because we don't do that are to be lost in the hands of an angry God. And that's the truth. There are consequences to our actions. We need to be submissive, to allow our hearts to be broken and then bound up in the loving hands of God who binds up the brokenhearted. We need a personal and a national revival, and we need it now. We need more of God, not less. We need His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. We need, most of all, His presence. We need God. Without Him, we're nothing. Not only are we of all men most miserable, we're nothing. We're hollow shells. Only the presence of God dwelling within us gives us worth. Only God can set us free. Only God can heal our hurts and hearts. Only God can change us. You can't change somebody by an anger management class. You need the Prince of Peace to come and change you.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.